Good morning.
Good morning.
Is it not a beautiful Sunday? It's almost like spring is here in January. It's great to be in worship with you. And if you're visiting with us, we extend a very special welcome to you. I encourage all of you to register your attendance on the pads that are provided. Kay Cogbill has an announcement for you. Kay?
Good morning. Thank you, David, for letting me speak today. I don't know if you've ever had cancer or known someone that had cancer, but I was, fortunate and unfortunate enough over the last year to have four good friends that battled breast cancer, and I've got one that's still fighting. And it spoke to me at the time, and one of my friends that is still in her journey with breast cancer, when she was having chemotherapy, she looked around and she knew that she had the comforts that she needed, like a blanket and chapstick and, you know, the things that kind of make you feel a little bit more human during that process. But she saw a lot of people that didn't have that. So it was on her heart to start a nonprofit called The Journey Project, and they provide chemo comfort bags for people that are having chemotherapy. As you know, if you're at this church, I love cards and I like to make cards. And so we have a quarterly project called Stamp for a Cause. This month, the Journey Project is our cause. Our event is going to be Saturday, the 24th, from 10 to 1. And we have an auction also that will directly benefit this Journey Project. You can make 7 cards for $25, or if you are not crafty or you need a Valentine's gift, then we are also selling those kits already made up. So we just would love for you to come or to support this event, and I'll be in the Activity Center. Thank you.
Thank you, and you'll be in our prayers for this outreach mission. I want to highlight a couple of other announcements for you. The Asbury's new Girl Scout Troop, Daisy Girl Scout Troop, will be selling Girl Scout cookies today. At the conclusion, as you know, the 10:45 celebration service is going on at the same time, and at the conclusion of that service, Girl Scout, they'll take your order for that. And also the youth fundraiser for their mission projects that was postponed because of the bad weather has been rescheduled for next Sunday. And this helps fund their mission trips and their mission outreach. So come and plan to be a part of that event next Sunday. So let's take a moment and greet and welcome one another.
God always worship and remember that God.
praise to the Lord the Almighty. Let us be standing.
Affirmation of faith this morning is the Apostles' Creed. You'll find it printed in your bulletin. Let us affirm our faith together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
If my friends will come down. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Ooh, that was a little slow this morning. How are we today? Are we good? Okay. Well, I want you to know that this week I had a hankering for some cookies. And there's all kinds of cookies at the grocery store. There's Chips Ahoy. There's cookies that have peanut butter in them. There's all kinds. But you know what? There is one kind of cookie that I know is good because I've been told that it was good. Do you know what kind of cookie that is? Voila. Oreos. You know the best part is I got these Oreos for a dollar. And they're not just not the regular Oreos, they're double stuffed. Double stuffed. And the reason why is that I knew, because people told me that Oreos are good and Nabisco's a good company. But I also had to see for myself that they are good. And then, of course, you have to look at it. And you kind of have to do a taste test, don't you? So let me do a taste test and see if it's okay. These aren't good at all. These are very good. Now, I was told, as I'm trying to chew my Oreo, that I didn't eat it right. Is that how you're supposed to eat an Oreo? Uh-huh. Don't tell me. Uh-huh. I was told that you're supposed to open it up, and you're supposed to lick the cream out of it, and then eat the cookies. Is that right? Is that how y'all eat your Oreos? Y'all eat it all at one bite, don't you? Y'all just stuff it in your mouth, right? Well, it made me kind of think a little bit about Jesus when it came to that. And here's the reason why. Is we have been told, haven't we, just like I've been told that Oreos are a great cookie about Jesus. And I'm told by my Sunday school teachers. I was told by my parents. I was told by my friends at church how wonderful Jesus is. And then I had to see it. Where do you think I saw it? I see it at Sunday school. I see it in the Bible. I see everything that Jesus did for us. And then I had to have a little taste test. You know what the taste test is? It's taking it and putting them in my heart. It's my taste test. And so today, I only have 8 Oreos. Well, actually, I just have 7. I need to decide what to do. Should I share? You think I have enough to share? No. But never worry. So, but I want you, what I want you to get from this is that think about how Jesus was introduced to you and how good he is, just like that Oreo is. That you have seen him, you've seen what he can do, you have tasted it because he's so good to you and all of his blessings. And lastly, he has shown you what he can do. So let's pray. Dear God, thank you for today. And thank you for having Jesus in our hearts. In your son's holy name we pray. Amen.
When the voice of singing declaring is heaven to be heard, alleluia,
make his praise to be known.
go to God in prayer, we want to remember in our prayers in our hearts this week, Eleanor Kilborn, Katie Camp, and Susanna May Camp, Bob Powers, Joe Kinsey, and Paula Pistorius. So let's go to God in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, what a joy it is to be in worship today. Open our minds so that we may receive your wisdom. Open our spirits so that we may know your leading and guidance. And open our hearts so that we may receive your wonderful love. Dear God, we're constantly reminded that there's no place where you are not with us. We know that there is no moment that is too scary to feel your presence. We know that we often make mountains out of molehills and we worry over so many things. Very often we let anxiety control us. And yet deep down inside us, we know that we're never alone. And we celebrate that there is no hospital room or alley or hotel room or street corner that's too dark for you. We ask for your forgiveness when we miss your presence and instead decide to cling to the shadows of worry and anxiety instead of you. Be patient with us, dear God. Be patient with us when we choose to run instead of trusting in who you are and the hope that you offer. Be patient with us as we take small steps and know that we're learning to give all and risk all and trust all. We're learning that your comfort, your assuredness, and your peace is not fleeting, no matter how hesitant our steps may be. As we struggle to learn that we should never fear but trust in you for all things, dear God, make our hearts courageous and our faith strong. And hold our hands as we navigate the world around us. And we lift to you our prayer concerns and our concerns for this troubled world. May the gift of your grace be the answer to all our prayers, both those said and those that remain to be spoken. And as we leave this place today, our prayer is that we would pour out your love and grace to others. All this we pray in the strong and loving name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. As you leave the sanctuary today, we have our homeless kits are available. I want to thank Laura Stinnett and Terry South. Terry South's Boy Scout troop, Asbury's troop, put these kits together this week. As you know, there are often opportunities at intersections and other places where there are those who are hungry and ask for something to eat or money from you. Carry these kits in your car and dispense them. I appreciate the scouts and Laura and Terry putting these together. Let us pray. Gracious God, we offer to you now not only our monetary gifts, but ourselves. We recognize all the blessings that you have given to us. And while we have these few moments where we listen to the music and silently pray in our hearts, we remember your steadfast love. We remember that we are not alone, that you are our rock, our fortress, and our salvation. And we find comfort in your presence. May our gifts and may our missions tell that story and show that love and refuge of yours. Bless the gift and the giver in Christ's holy name. Amen.
I invite you to follow along with me as we prepare to receive God's holy word as recorded in the Matthew's gospel. It is in the 6th chapter, verses 25 through 34. May the people of God be blessed in this reading and hearing of God's holy word as recorded in Matthew 6, 25 through 34. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor about your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add one cubit to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O men of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be yours as well. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Let the day's own trouble be sufficient for the day. The word of God for the people of God. Well, I have been sitting here trying not to worry why Cliff was the only one that got the cookies. Teacher's pet. As I prepare a sermon every week, my prayer is that at least one person leave from here having had God spoken to him or her through the message. Today, that one person I know is going to be me, because I need this message today as much as anyone. But of course, my prayer stands. I hope each and every one finds something to take with them. Chew on it, digest it, let it nourish your soul, and may it enable you to act in faith. Because most of us worry unnecessarily about something. Every week, you may find yourself, catch yourself, worrying about something. Perhaps it's finances or your health, relationships, something at work, something that's just gnawing at you. You know you need to solve it, and you hadn't quite gotten there yet. Now, it's understandable that we might do this from time to time, but if we are doing this on a daily basis, we need a change. We need a big change. And Jesus is speaking to you and me today how to accomplish that change, if we will just heed his word. Because it's absolute scientific proof that our problems give us stress. They stress our bodies, they stress our minds, and obviously then combined stress our spirits. And it is also true that most of what we stress about is as unnecessary as it is unhelpful. Take a look at these statistics about worry. Just listen to these. 40% of all things we worry about never happen. 30% of our worries involve decisions which we made in the past, which cannot be changed. 12% of our worries focus on criticism from others who, quite frankly, are feeling somewhat inferior about themselves. 10% are related to our health. Now, if you're worrying about that, that's not going to help your health. Only 8% of that which we worry about are legitimate cause for concern. Now, are you hearing that? Fewer than 1 out of 10 things that we are spending a lot of time being concerned and worried about actually need our attention. All the rest, well, we just need to respond to differently or eliminate them altogether. Because it is the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that reminds us that God did not create us to be beings of worry. He did not create us to spend our days worrying. God did not create us to worry about our future, about our money, about our needs, because why? God always provides, amen. Is there anyone in this room where God has not provided for them? Then why didn't you say a louder amen?
Amen.
Why does the choir just say amen? There you go. We have to trust and believe that. Our faith depends on it. Maybe sharing the following reasons why worrying is not helpful to you will be of help to you. The same God who created you can be trusted with the details of your life. Here again, Matthew 6:25. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food? And the body more than clothes? Our Lord God created many, many, many things. And many, many people. And if you look at the creation story, and it really, it's just wonderful to read every now and then. It's just wonderful to read because our God is so loving and so wise. And God is a God of order. And when you read the creation story, you understand there's this expanse of water, and then there's the light, and then the water and the light then can support vegetation, and then the vegetation supports the animal life. The animal life and the vegetation support the humankind. You see, everything in which God blessed was created in a specific order to bless that which follows it. And then all of these things have been given to humankind. We are caretakers. We are in charge of taking care of our creation. And due to sin and negligence and self-focus, we haven't taken good care of what God's given us. We can be a part of turning that around with recycling and picking up garbage and using less fuel and all of the ways that we can be helpful. We help then restore creation and the trust of God who entrusted the creation to us. But the bottom line is, whatever we face in this world, we can trust God both in good and bad times. But we have to make the choice. It is a choice, my friends, as to whether you're going to spend your time trusting God or worrying. It's that simple. Every day. It's just a choice. We have to re-engineer our minds to do one over the other. And secondly, worrying about the future harms your efforts to live fully and appreciate today. Matthew 6:26. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in the barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And are you of not much more value than they? We had a beloved pet that passed away about 4 years ago. And we've opted not to get another pet at this time. And so we've adopted the deer on our property. And it's really quite fun. We watch them come upon our property in the springtime. We see the little tiny fawn with their little tiny spots and their gangly legs, and we watch them kind of trip over, and finally we see them grow a little bit and they're able to follow their mom, and off into the woods they go. And they get a little bit bigger. And then in the wintertime, I put out corn. I've trained those deer to come eat that corn. I feed them in the morning. I feed them in the evening. I'm not there during noontime. But something interesting to me as I watch them eat the corn, there are some days they don't. I have been at the window looking out, and they ignore the corn. They're going there and eating the acorns, and they're eating the little shoots of grass up underneath the leaves in the woods. And I'm reminded, whether I gave them corn or not, they're not going to starve, because God has provided for them. And on some days they like it better. Worrying should not be, because God provides. Third thing I want to share with you is worrying is more harmful than helpful. Hear this verse. Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Granted, there are some days we just want them to get over. We don't want an extra hour. I can remember as a child of about 7 or 8 years of age, piano recital was coming up. Oh, I had rehearsed and rehearsed and rehearsed, and I had that piece down pat, could play it in my sleep. I knew I would make my mother so proud because she could play that piano. And she had been a music teacher, and she had so hoped that I would have musical ability. Got on the stage and had the most awful case of stage fright you can imagine. Couldn't play a note. Ran off that stage in tears. That was my last piano recital. You see, I'd spent so much time worrying about it, but had never really performed in front of anyone. And look at me today. I can sing a solo. I've played in the band before, some solos, and I preach in front of a couple of hundred or more every Sunday. Go figure. We can worry ourselves sick, don't you see, and do more harm than help. And fourthly, God does not ignore those who depend upon him. Matthew 6, 28, 29. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers are adorned? Even Solomon in all his glory couldn't hold a candle to one of these. Again, I share with you some statistics, reminders of God's blessings to us. If you have food in the refrigerator, clothes on your back, a roof over your head, and a place to sleep, you are richer than 75% of the people in this world. If you have money in the bank, a little bit in your wallet, change on your dresser, you are among the top 8% of the world's wealthy. If you woke up this morning with more health than illness, you are more blessed than the million who will not survive this week. If you have never experienced the danger of battle, the loneliness of imprisonment, the agony of torture, or the pangs of starvation, you are ahead, my friends, of 500 million people in the world. And if you attended church this morning without fear of harassment, arrest, torture, or death, then you are more blessed than 3 billion people in the world. And the final thing I want to share with you this morning is worrying shows a lack of faith and an understanding on your part and on mine of who our God really is. It keeps, don't you see, focus on ourselves when we worry, rather than focus on God, who deserves our every allegiance. As we finish up this passage, hear these verses 31 through 33. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For even the pagans run after these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them, but seek ye first his kingdom, and all these other things shall be added unto you. When it comes to faith conquering worry, we just need to practice a childlike faith. What child goes to school as a majority and comes home and doesn't really have a home to come to? What child, and unfortunately there are a few more these days, comes home and doesn't find even one morsel to eat? Stop worrying and practice a childlike faith. There are two kinds of people in the world I have discovered. There's those who are the can-doers and those who are the will-doers. Everyone can do something, but not everyone will do something. We need to stop worrying about what we think we can do and begin to just simply do what we will do. For living one day at a time keeps you and me from being consumed about worry, because hear this final verse, verse 34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Don't you just love that? I mean, Jesus just, he just brings it on home. He says, what difference is it going to make if you worry? I mean, don't worry about tomorrow. You got enough to deal with today. One thing about getting older and maturing is it does enable you to understand life is precious. And the decisions and the way we spend our time needs to be reevaluated often. And one thing about the ministry is we do funerals. And when I look back over the funerals I've done, several stand out to me. One was doing a funeral for a teenager, died by accident. One was a funeral done for someone who was murdered. And many have been done by those who had diagnoses that took them quickly. But there's no doubt in my mind that even in those cases, each and every person felt like they had some good days ahead. But they didn't. And so as I hear what Jesus is saying in this passage, he's saying life is precious. And it does you no good to spend even one millisecond of it not trusting our Father. We may or may not have a tomorrow. But one thing is true. If you're worrying about the problems of tomorrow, you are robbing yourself of the joy and the blessings that are there for you today. The psalmist wrote, This is the day the Lord has made. I will choose to rejoice and be glad in it. Or as the Apostle Paul said in one of my favorite passages in Philippians 4, have no anxiety about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, make your requests known to the Father. And the peace that passeth all understanding will keep your minds and your hearts in Christ Jesus. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our closing hymn today, our hymn of commitment, is Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. If there are those here today who would like to unite with this church by making a profession of faith, renewing your profession, or by transfer, we invite you to come forward as we sing this hymn. If there are those who would like to simply come forward and to pray, David and I would love to meet with you and pray with you. But let us be standing as we sing now this hymn, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms, 133. So good to be in worship with you today. Please receive this benediction. And now, God, you have called us to trust you. May we go forward in the trust that you have placed in us, that we would share that trust to the world which we meet. May we go in the peace and the love of Christ our Lord, in the communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit, now and always. Amen.